real talk. Real talk.
Right. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group, this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here.
Welcome
to
you
can sip with us.
I was going to try to think of something really quick to say, like, sleuth. You can sleuth with us.
Oh, because nice. What?
But the thing is we're recording this early and you guys aren't going to hear till Tuesday. And so things are going to develop between now and then. But it just, are you watching these texts come through?
No.
What? Colleen!
I literally have been tied up. What am I?
Taylor Swift's camp made a state illegal sworn under oath something. Blake tried to extort her.
What?
Yes.
This is
They're
real?
Done. Yeah. It's literally, it's under oath. So it's no longer allegations. It's under oath, which means it's evidence, which means it's fact.
Wait.
Okay. So I don't know if we can play this here, but this.
This is not on TMZ. Is this a letter introduced by Justin's team?
Let's see. Elaborate. So what is this called? Because I just want to look it up. Okay.
Mind is blown. Get ready.
Taylor Swift's camp reached out to Brian Friedman. I don't know who Brian Friedman is yet. Friedman. Is that Baldoni's lawyer? Who is Friedman?
In this affidavit,
I don't know who that is.
That was submitted today.
Oh, an American entertainment lawyer and litigator. Justin Baldoni. Okay, so that is just, okay. Justin Baldoni's lawyer. So he did an affidavit. He just filed it today yesterday, apparently the 14th. So he's Justin Baldoni's attorney. And he says on February 14th, 2025, I received a voicemail from a person very closely linked to Taylor Swift, whom I subsequently called back the same day out of respect for the individual in question. I am not identifying them at this time. Was it Tree? Was it Scott Swift? Who was it? We don't know. Someone very close to Taylor. However, should the court direct me to do so, I will comply with the court's order. During the February 14th phone call, which lasted approximately an hour, the speaker told me that they had been informed that J. Douglas Baldridge, counsel for Taylor Swift and a partner at Venable LLP, had received a phone call from Michael Gottlieb, which is Blake Lively's attorney, right?
Okay.
During which Mr. Gottlieb requested on Miss Lively's behalf that Taylor Swift make a social media. So Blake's, I had to, like, this person read this and then I'm like, tell me what this means in layman's terms. So Blake's lawyer reached out to Taylor's lawyer on February 14th and requested that on Miss Lively's behalf that Taylor Swift make a social media statement in support of Ms. Lively given her absence from the Super Bowl that year and stated that if Miss Swift failed to do so, Miss Lively would release 10 years of private texts with Mrs.
What?
Swift. The individual also told me that they had been informed that Mr. Baldridge had accused Mr. Gottlieb of extortion and ended the call. So Baldridge. Which one's Baldridge? Baldridge is Taylor's. Okay, so Baldridge is Taylor's attorney. He accused Blake's attorney of extortion. During the same February 14th call, the individual told me that they, so let's just call it, let's just say it's Scott Swift. Okay, let's just say it's her dad. So, which we don't know how it is, but I'm trying to make sense of this and it's easier if I like can have context, you know? Mm-hmm. So Scott hears about this from Taylor's lawyer. He calls Justin's lawyer. Right. So he then tells Justin's lawyer that they had been informed that 4 or 5 months earlier, Ms. Lively had requested that Ms. Swift delete her text messages with Ms. Lively. I was connected to this.
And
to
this
Mr.
is like what we talked about last night, kind of. There was a subpoena. Remember all this?
Well, yes, but that was a couple of weeks ago. The subpoena, or a week ago or something.
But then it was released that it was 4 text messages and that Blake's team was pressuring Taylor to delete them. And that's like that there was witness tampering. That's what we were talking about last night.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And when she's referring to last night,
sorry,
we recorded
everyone.
Patreon.
Yes.
And we have a second show every month. In fact, we have more shows over there because we get 4 a month plus bonus episodes. patreon.com/youcansipwithus. We are now down to 2 times a month here on the Tuesday yep. platform, and we're spending a lot more time over there. Come join us.
Yes.
It's 10 bucks.
You
eight
must.
Or 10. You're, you know, choose your adventure, you but must. 8 gets you the bonus content.
Yes.
Yes. So we were we recorded that last okay. night and right. Okay. So on a later call with, let's call him Scott Swift, he told me that Justin's lawyer had sent a written, well, I'm confused. I need, is Mr. Baldridge who's, oh no, Taylor's lawyer. Taylor's lawyer had sent a written communication to, I need to write down which one's yeah. Gottlieb.
Right, like the Gottlieb is timeline Lively's? Of events and the people. We need,
okay,
we need
okay,
like so, the board that they have when they're right, trying to find need, a murderer.
Yes.
And there's pins and arrows yes. And like we're circling people's faces and stuff, right?
Right, it needs to, and someone's going to do it. Someone's
there's a timeline.
Do it on TikTok. But yes. okay, so we have Baldridge is Taylor. Baldridge is Taylor's. And then Gottlieb is Blake. Okay. I just need to write this down so that I, as I'm telling you guys. Okay. So on this call with, again, this is all alleged. So I don't know what you guys, not alleged. This is fact what's in here, but I'm just saying, Mr. Swift, I don't know if it was Scott, but it's easier for me to picture what's happening if I don't have all these legal terms, right? So if they don't say Mr. Baldridge and instead they say right. Taylor's lawyer.
Right.
So
right, right.
on a later call with Scott Swift, he told me that Taylor's lawyer had sent written communication to Blake's lawyer relating to their phone conversation. And so what I'm reading here is Justin's lawyer's affidavit that he submitted, right?
Okay.
So my office issued a subpoena to Venable LLP for the purpose of seeking the aforementioned written communication. I declare under penalty of perjury pursuant to blah, 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 that the foregoing is true and correct. So he signs this into the court. And yeah, I swear under penalty of perjury, he's putting his career on the line. Now I'm reading comments. I'm on a Reddit thread. It said, this one comment says, so they said he was lying. He said, hold my beer, judge. I swear under penalty of perjury, I'm seated. And then this person commented, right? He's putting his own career on the line for this. So either he's an idiot or he has something. It'll be interesting to see how Blake's side response. New update. The judge has already struck. Oh, okay. So this is then what Annie said. The judge struck down this in Friedman's previous letter. He said, this doesn't have anything to do with this case, but it's also from the judge. The sole purpose of this letter is to promote public scandal by advancing inflammatory accusations, blah, blah, blah. But it does seem as though Taylor wants this out there or something. And also things just took a very serious turn. If you're back, can you imagine if you were in a court case and you brought my name up and then you're in a court and then your star is falling and I'm like, I gotta distance myself, whether that's my choice or my camp's choice or whatever, I'm gonna distance mm-hmm. myself. And then you threaten me and said, if you don't come out publicly in a very big way and be in my corner, I'm going to release all of our secrets. I'm going to release all the communication from the last 10 years. Can you imagine what Taylor, no wonder she's dark right now, because that has got to be so difficult. One of the things you said last night is Taylor has said she doesn't feel like a person sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have this best friend who they're godmother of their children, which is pretty damn close to like family level yeah. closeness. And then to now be dealing with the grief of being taken advantage of and treated like this. Absolutely insane.
Do you think that happened?
Well, what these things are saying, like, okay, so listen to what this person says.
To the judge from Brian Friedman. This is an affidavit. This is under perjury, penalty of perjury. This is a legal document. So Blake people, you cannot say this is a lie. This is not a lie. This is truth. This is an affidavit. I'm going to read it.
So it's an affidavit. Then she sent another one with another lawyer and that person said the same thing.
You guys,
back to the original.
Hold on.
Yes,
I'm going to scroll back because she says,
He just filed an affidavit in
she explains what an affidavit
main
kind of
case.
Is.
He filed a letter in response to the motion to strike that was filed last night because okay. The motion to strike accused him of
utilizing the
court's docket mm-hmm.
right.
for abuse and for
Hold on. She says in a minute, this is not actually like golden that. On TikTok.
And so he wrote a letter back saying, you know.
But it's under oath, true, yada, 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 which means.
Questioning the validity of what I said. And they pointed out multiple times in their motion that there was no evidence to back up my.
Oh, my God. This legal terms.
How about some evidence?
How about some evidence?
And he signed an affidavit dated today under his own signature saying these things
under oath. Which means,
as I've said before, like with the Jed Wallace personal jurisdiction issue, an affidavit is different than the allegations in a complaint or even a document that has not been authenticated yet. An affidavait is sworn testimony.
She said it might as well be a deposition or sitting in a witness chair in front of a trial. Like so you can't lie. Like that's the same thing as apparently. You know what I'm saying?
Here's where I'm at with it, I think. There's a lot.
Wow.
Because last night I was like, I feel like something bad went down between Blake and Taylor.
Right.
I feel like this is real.
Yep,
I feel
you
like
did say that.
I still feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like
and
something,
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Something went down with Blake and Taylor for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started with the Dragons comment. And then if Blake did threaten to release 10 years, I will turn all of this over, Taylor, if you don't have my back. And like, who knows how you're feeling? There's no excuse for it. But if your star is, like you said, rapidly falling and you're desperate and you're pissed mm-hmm. of like, you know, but feeling like maybe even abandoned in the friendship or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But if she did that, no, that's even more serious than we thought. But here's the other side of my brain. I fundamentally do not trust Justin's lawyer to the point that I think that for a show, he would say, like, risk his career, put it all out there to, like, create this big noise. I just don't. I have this really bad feeling about this guy that all of this is tactical.
He could go to jail, though. Because, right? I mean, if you lie on the witness stand, then that.
He could, but the judge just tossed it, right? Like, maybe it was a calculated risk. Like, maybe he knew, like, I don't know anything about the legalese of it all.
I know. I know, it's so hard to decode.
I just think Justin's lawyer
is a shyster.
Is an animal. I think mm-hmm. he is, like, mm-hmm. I think this is, like, wild behavior, and he's been mm-hmm. doing it, it seems like, for a long time, just mm-hmm. to create so much distraction and stuff. Okay, Annie texted. We have our... She said, people has it. Okay, well, we trust people. Like, it's all coming together, but it feels like everything is like grain of salt almost, right?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, I know. And also, big words in legal terms, stop doing that. I'm not a lawyer. You know what I mean? Like, just can you break it down in basic and also talk fast? Because this girl is talking too slow. She's clearing her throat. I need... immediate answers. You know what I mean?
Taylor,
I need to understand them.
I feel like we should release this episode early.
Yeah, we got to get it out because it's going to, everything's going to change.
And at this point, we're every other Tuesday anyway. So people, I would like to think maybe people have been missing us and we're not bound to a schedule anymore.
I've been getting messages. Mm-hmm.
They're not mm-hmm. bad. We're not bad. We're free.
Yeah.
So
we're free birds.
Taylor Swift, this is People's headline. Taylor Swift and Blake Lively's friendship has halted. The singer wants no part of this drama with exclusive sources. Okay, it does feel like what you said and what Annie said, like Taylor wants
it out there.
Wants it out there in a way that's like not her saying that.
Right.
All of this is also good for Taylor in a way because she has an album announcement forthcoming. We know of something.
Oh
kind,
my,
soon.
Something is for sure
so
coming. And can you imagine?
Like great timing for
if
rep,
Bad
by the way.
Blood was stealing dancers and this is like selling your soul. Imagine the song we're getting about this.
Another insider said the two stars are taking some space. That feels like when you're like a parent.
To put it lightly. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you need some space?
Do you need some space?
Funny. That's healthy gals. But mm-hmm. their friendship isn't completely over. They have been friends for a long time. One of the uh-huh. images I see in my mind is remember when Taylor was with Tom? They were at Blake and Ryan's house, I think. Sell, and he had like a I love I heart TS. And oh, it's Ryan and Blake sitting on a front porch, like Blake sitting on Ryan's lap. And then Taylor's, they're like doing a mirror pose, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just felt like
TS
really
was in the water. Okay.
Or but maybe anyway. It was like not, it wasn't on the patio, but it was like, it was in the water that he wore that, but it was like the same trip. It was like the same weekend something.
Okay. Okay.
Do you remember that? And then, for whatever reason, I saw that. I was like, wow, they're really, really close. Like Blake and Ryan are two of Taylor's closest friends. I mean, she's even the kids in her songs. Like, this is deep. This right. is not a friendship that goes away overnight. Yeah. This is, she's like a godmother, I think, to her.
She is.
Isn't she?
To one of them, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
but I think space is a good idea. I really think that dragon comment, that's
you do?
One of the, yes, I think that's one of the worst things you could do to Taylor is make her seem like some kind of like weapon or some kind of object.
Right. Use her likeness to your advantage instead of being, wait, we're friends. What do you mean you're using me? You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Swift was really hurt after being implicated in Lively's legal fight, but that the stars were working to put it all behind them. According to a complaint Baldoni filed in January, Lively referred to a pop star as one of her dragons. Now, however, a source close to the legal battle says the subpoena, which was served on May 8th, has fractured the fragile peace between Lively and Swift, who is godmother to the actress's four kids with her husband, Ryan.
All four. Wow.
Multiple sources also tell people that Lively's friendship with another longtime pal, Gigi Hadid, has cooled.
Well, Gigi's going to have Taylor's back.
All day, every day. I think
all day,
Gigi,
every day. Yeah.
Gigi, Cara Develini, and Taylor, like they've been friends for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Gigi feels terrible that her close friend is being pulled into the legal drama. Gigi is closer to Taylor. And has definitely taken her side in the whole drama. Gigi doesn't want to get involved in this whole ordeal, but she is closer to Taylor and has distanced herself from Blake, although she considers her a friend. Okay.
Yeah, it does say it took the court less than 24 hours to see through Mr. Friedman's irrelevant, improper, and inflammatory accusations, strike them, remove them from the court, and warn him that further misconduct may be met with sanctions. So the judge is saying what you're saying. You're a liar. Get out of here. Stop it.
You it's know, all just so much noise.
You're doing everything for attention.
But even with that, it seems like there's some kind of attempt for Taylor's camp to control the story that still makes Justin's lawyer look like an idiot. Like, hey, this guy, like kind of destroy his like credibility. Things coming from this guy are not credible. Here's the real, we're going to offer you up the real thing. So maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't full-blown extortion, but there is like deep friendship hurt and an intentional distancing from all of this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What?
Okay, an ordeal. So yeah, this is happening, folks.
All right.
This is happening.
By the way, I'm Colleen.
Oh, hi. Oh, my God.
We just jumped right into all of it and took y'all for a ride.
This literally just happened.
It had to happen. It had to happen. This had to happen.
And I needed to hear from you.
Did you see the thing about Justin Bieber?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've seen some stuff, but what?
We talked a little bit about it last night, didn't we? We talked a little bit. I can't remember if we talked about Justin Bieber last night.
I don't feel like we did.
Okay.
We ran out of time.
Okay. So Scooter, Ron and Justin, months ago, maybe even a year ago, it was like this public fallout between Justin and Scooter. They're no longer, he's no longer repping. And then he was no longer repping Ariana like around
and,
the same
Demi
time.
Lovato, like, or wait, Demi's the only one that stuck with him or something, right? And everyone else dropped him or something like that.
Yeah. And we're like, okay. Oh, something's going to go down. Like we're going to find
snake
something
in the water,
out
snake
about
in the weeds.
Scooter.
Yeah.
So TMZ had this whole thing that Justin, like his issues are, sounds like really, really bad, which we've suspected. We've seen these videos And it like does not seem like he's been in a good place for a long time. So there's more information coming out about what happened with Scooter and Justin. It was apparently a big fallout after his tour. So he went on that big tour, which he canceled like very abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a lot of money riding on that tour that had been a lot of money invested. They were upside down in it.
Yes. Well, and I heard, okay, so I did hear something the other day that he got a $40 million advance on the tour. But then remember he got Bell's palsy or something like that where his face was paralyzed.
That's right.
Yep. And so then he had to pay them like $20 million back or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't able to do the tour.
And there was, I think, more money fallout than that. And there was like, okay. I don't know if it was an official dispute, but somehow PricewaterhouseCooper got involved. Originally, it was like, I think the label or Scooter Braun's team basically being like, Justin, you still like owe us. Like a million, it was something like $1 million. And then Scooter said, no, just let's not, like, it's fine. But then there was an official audit, like PricewaterhouseCooper, that's legit. That's like third party coming in. They're They're like a firm who can conduct things like this.
Okay.
And so I don't know like what their exact thing is, but they're like this third party who probably does all kinds of things. Like I feel like in my mind, they also are involved with the Oscars of like,
I mean, I've heard that name everywhere. But
they're big. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they came in and they said, no, it's actually more like $8 million that Justin still owes Scooter. And then he sold his whole music catalog, remember, for like $200 million. And everyone's like, whoa, like that's early in his career to be doing that. And that was a big story. It was all for money. He's like in financial turmoil, apparently.
Justin is?
Yes. That's why he sold his music catalog.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think
okay.
Scooter and others advised him not to do that so early, but he like, it wasn't a want to, it was like a needed to situation.
Okay. Scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. And then what?
That's it. No, that's it. Like he's working on new music right now, but he does not look well.
No,
he did like some stories that seemed very erratic and strange the other night. And I feel bad for him. I've always felt bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Child star, like so much in his life of just like stolen youth, right? This theme of like the Justins, the Britneys, like they just, they don't get the opportunity to develop as like a normal, like not, but like in a way that
normal.
Is healthy. Yes.
Yes, it is. I mean, I think it, and we've talked about this. That's why I really struggle with, like, I feel like child stars aren't as big of a thing anymore as social media and all these family bloggers using their kids for content.
That's
some of them will be fine,
really
maybe, but to grow up with that much pressure and to be performing all the time, it's great. You know, it's bringing in all kinds of money for your family and people. It feels fun to be famous and get recognized out in public and stuff. But like,
there's going to
kids
maybe
shouldn't
be
have
a really
to handle
big cost.
That. Yeah. Yes, it's very scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I wonder if like. Really, it seemed like he was doing better. And then all the Diddy stuff started coming out. And I think that probably just sent him into a trauma spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following this Diddy trial?
Kind of. I'm just seeing like sound bites and.
Yeah. I'm wondering like, so he's on, what is Diddy on trial for? Trafficking and racketeering. I don't even know what racketeering is. Because so far there has been, I think it started this week. So sex trafficking, yes, is like a huge thing. Oh, transportation for prostitution. Okay. Because it seems like it's a domestic abuse sort of case. Cassie testified this week. She's pregnant. And some of the things that she has said are horrifying, beyond horrifying. Oof. I think they met when... I think it said either she was 19 and then by 21, they were like dating and she had signed a 10 album deal with him. And then he started, you know, taking advantage of her and she started falling in love with him. And then, you know, things got very, very bad and disturbing. And then she was in, you know, an abusive relationship and didn't know how to get out because he had so much power.
Oof.
In the industry. And it is true. I watched Chelsea Handler talk today
No, not Chelsea Handler. I think it was Bethany Frankel. She was saying like, this is insane. What is happening with Diddy is insane. Because if you guys remember, he was like the who's who of Hollywood.
Right.
The hottest ticket to be at was an invite to his white party. She said he like brought back, he like rebounded the brand Ciroc. Like anything he touched, people wanted to be around him in his vicinity. He had so much power. And then you come to find out who he actually was. And so she was like, the amount of people in Hollywood right now that are probably terrified, that want people to forget that they ever were at those parties or that they had any association with him, not to mention people that are terrified that there's going to be video evidence, because it sounds like he videoed a bunch of this stuff. Video, thinking, you know, you're above the law, you'll never get caught.
Oh my God.
But I don't know how long this trial is going to go. I'm not watching it, but I'm seeing the recaps all the time. And like the security guard from the hotel, remember that video footage of the hotel? Yeah. I guess there was other way worse video footage that hadn't been released to the public. And that security guard who now works for the New York Police Department, I think is my I think I have that right, said like, you know, Diddy offered him a bunch of money to not share. And he said, I'm not going to do that. So he recorded it on his phone because he was afraid, or had his wife record or something because he was afraid it would be deleted. And it, oh my gosh. And then hearing from several people that he used to do it in hotel rooms, have these freak offs in hotel rooms. And sometimes they'd have to redo the entire, like strip down to the studs, the room, because of the damn, there'd be blood and baby oil everywhere and everything was destroyed. Oh, just like
God.
Crazy after they were done in those suites.
Ugh.
And some of these freak-offs apparently lasted like 4 to 7 days.
Whoa.
I mean, and there's stuff that I don't even want to say here because it's so like trigger warning and dark. Mm-hmm. But the things that Cassie is saying happened to her on the stand is...
She is so brave.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. She's so brave.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
She went to rehab and apparently what that ended up being was like just a bunch of trauma therapy. And I wonder if that's where she got the strength, is talking to the therapist at her rehab and them saying, because when you're that young, you don't know what's right or wrong. You don't know what's normal. Yeah. All these people are around and they're seeing this stuff happen to you. You don't know who to trust. And you're like, I guess this is just what the world is. This what Hollywood is? I don't know. Right. And so then maybe speaking to therapists and them saying, this is absolutely not
okay.
Okay.
What happened in any way. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And right, so then she can see it. Stop blaming herself or carrying guilt over it or something. And, you know, and then
reclaim.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
When you speak, because sometimes when we have so much shame, it's very, very heavy. And then you talk about it and it becomes lighter. And then you can talk about it more and more and more. And then you kind of regain power over that story and you can see it more clearly. But Diddy's seven kids are sitting behind him in the courtroom just hearing all of these things that his dad has done. Mm-hmm. And even Diddy's, apparently, I think it was the defense's or the prosecutor, I think it was defense's opening statement was 90 minutes. And what they say, what they're saying is like, some of the things that you will see and like that video, things that you will hear are indefensible, but they are not proof of human trafficking or racketeering. Like they're basically saying like, yes, you're going to see this guy as a shitty human, but you can't convict it for whatever. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I feel like they've got just too many smoking guns, especially because if you're an idiot and you film everything and that, you know, the federal government raids your house like that.
Yeah.
So I hope he goes down just in burning flames, but it is really harrowing.
Yeah.
That's still going on by some people in Hollywood, stuff like this, you know, just like abuse of power. And anyway, I've been paying attention to that this week.
All right.
Ready?
Ding, 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 ding. I think I speak for everybody when I say we love our chompers.
We love our chompers. Oh my gosh. Where would we be without our teeth?
Where do we be? Right? We love our chompers. We want them to look pretty. And it's tough, right? The dentist sometimes. And I love my dentist, but man, oh man, sometimes the wait times, the billing, the processes. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so excited that we partner with REM-E. If you're part of the 30% of Americans who grind their teeth, then your smile needs protection. Avoid some unnecessary trips to the dentist, right? There's no better solution than REM-E's Custom Fit Night Guard. Both dentists and teeth grinders recommend REM-E because a custom fit night guard is the best way to protect your teeth, and REM-E is 80% less than the dentist and way easier. Here's how it works. You receive your impression kit straight to your door. REM-E gives you step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression. REM-E ships your custom fit night guard made right here in the US in Las Vegas. And then you get it. You get it back and you start protecting your teeth. Super duper easy. The best part is REM-E is so confident you'll get a perfect fit. They offer a 45-night perfect fit guarantee or your money back.
No waiting rooms, no overpriced bills, just a better way to protect your teeth while you sleep. Try REM-E risk-free at shopremy.com/sip and use the code SIP to get up to 50% off your night guard at checkout. That's 50% off at shopremy.com/sip with the code SIP. Thank you, REM-E, for sponsoring this episode.
Should we lighten it up?
Sure.
Let's
take it a little lighter.
Some social stuff.
So Sammy, our amazing assistant, put a couple of question boxes up on social. And one of them was, what's the best life advice you've received lately? And one person wrote in, they said, I watched this TikTok of a man telling a story about him and his wife getting into a fight the night before. He gets to work and his coworker or boss or whatever could tell something was going on and asked what was up. And he said, oh, you know, me and the wife fought last night and we didn't talk to each other this morning, but it's okay. When I get home tonight, I'll apologize. It'll be fine. And his coworker says, who told you that? And he's like, what? Who told me what? That she'll forgive me? And he's like, no, who told you you were going to make it home tonight? This person says, I just cried. We always assume we have time, like we are guaranteed to make it home. And the truth is we aren't. It's cliche to say never go to bed mad, but it's true. Life is so amazing, but we forget that it can also be so short. Mm. I do like the concept of remembering that anything could happen at any time. And I like the idea of like, who told you that you'll make it home, you know? But I also don't agree with the never go to bed mad thing.
Really?
I think
not hot take, but warm. That's a warm take.
Yeah,
that's kind of hot take.
Is it? Yeah, I feel like sometimes going to bed mad.
You like to go to bed?
I don't like to talk when I'm really, really heated.
Ah,
because I feel like then you can say things that you don't mean, or you can say things that are very hurtful that you can't take back. You can become spiteful. You know, when you're at, it's like when you're in a dysregulated state. So a lot of times I'll be like, I'm not talking about this tonight, and then you sleep on it. You get a clearer head and you come back and yes, I could die in my sleep. Yes, one of us could die in our sleep. Chances of that are not huge. I mean, every day billions of people are going to bed and waking up. You know, always. But I also think there's a greater chance of more damage being done arguing in a very pissed off, angry, dysregulated state than there are of me not waking up.
Fair point. I feel like it could be a book title. Go to bed mad.
Yeah.
It's just edgy.
Go to bed mad.
It's
right.
Got a nice. Yeah.
You got that marketing brain.
Well, and you have the good takes. So we're a good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Everything is figure outable. Super simple, but I love that one. And related to this, worrying isn't going to change the outcome.
Yeah. I love that idea about worrying too, because I'm like, it's very hard to stop your brain from worrying, but the amount of energy that collectively we have all wasted on worrying about things that didn't happen, we go to worst case scenario, whatever, and then nothing, and then it ends up being fine.
Yeah.
Is just like, we could freaking probably power the universe. We could get everyone clean drinking water if we took that amount of energy that we stress about stuff. Like, so I try to be like, I'll deal with it when it gets here. No sense in freaking out about like the could be, should be's, what could be going on, you know?
It's also a question of like, that's one of the things Dave and I have been working on is like, where is your mind living? Mm. Like, right, when you're worrying or even if you're just planning, it's maybe not be worrying, but planning and thinking around each corner and preparing. And we do that a lot. And especially when things are busy or high volume, we're like constantly sort of like in the future living. And it's the big thing I've been working on this year is surrender. That's my word of 2025. Not that you have to find a word, but that it's not even the word. It's just the theme is just, okay, it's going to happen how it happens.
I just went to our notes from that session with Dave.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you said is being taken for a ride. I don't know if that's your term or if that's Dave's term, but I love the concept of that, of like my emotions taking me for a ride. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of, my note is sort of like bullets or whatever. So it says taken for a ride of the moment you're in. And then it says being anchored in. And then it says we are the planet. And then there are other things floating around us. So I think it was like peace. I was trying to like write as you guys were talking. But I think that's a really powerful thought of like, because sometimes when you're on the ride, you feel like I'm at the mercy of the ride. But when it's your thinking and it's your thoughts, you don't realize like, oh, I can just hop off this ride.
Yeah.
Like I'm the one that is operating the controls. So right. I could just like not be on this ride right now.
Yeah.
And right? I'm not actually the thing flying around. Yeah. I'm locked in.
Pull. There's one of Dave's meditations. I think it's I can't remember, for those of you who are on his SoundCloud, it's the 5-minute one. But it's like feeling the gravitational pull towards the earth. And he's like, you know, feel the pull. And then he's like, says the word anchor. And then I've listened to it so many times. He goes, pew, like just really pew, in the earth, in the earth. And then everything else just sort of isn't so crazy because you're not, flying around.
I'm tethered.
Yes.
I'm not the one, you know, and I've talked about River of Misery before, which is this idea that you're swimming in the River of Misery and that's that thing. I'm being taken for it was a different visual concept, but same thing. Instead of like, no, I can just stand up. The water's still going to flow around me and there might be waves, but like I can stand here and get my feet on the ground. Yeah. I don't have to be laying and letting the water splash all over me and, you know, maybe just tossed and turned. I can actually just stand up and I can know that the waves are going to be there, but I can handle the waves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What else do we have?
Oh, this one, maybe this one heard from me. I don't know. Cause I always use this analogy. Monkeys are going to monkey. Giraffes are going to giraffe. You don't have to go to their exhibit. Have you heard me talk about that? Mm-mm. Okay. So this comes up a lot when people struggle with someone in their life acting a certain way, right? My mom is so narcissistic or my sister's so controlling or, you know, my husband's so negative or whatever. Right. And I always say, well, your mom's going to mom. You know, like you can be mad about the way that she approaches things, but we don't go to the zoo and look at the monkeys and be like, why aren't you acting like a giraffe? Or go to the otters and be like, why don't you act like I was going to say polar bear, but both of those swim. They're a little close. They're, you know, but whatever. Yeah. You guys get it, right? We just go and we observe them in their habit and we just, oh, that's what monkeys do. Oh, that's right. And one of the things for me that was really powerful was, I don't think it's diagnosed. And I know that this is very like a hot topic, hot button that people are saying right now. But I do think my mom is narcissistic, is somewhere on the narcissistic spectrum. And so for me to explain, God, you're so narcissistic. Why can't you da-da-da? Why can't she? You can't call someone disordered and then say, why can't you act as if you don't have this disorder? If she is a narcissist, why would I get mad at her for being narcissistic? That's a waste of my time because she is who she is, right? Mom's gonna mom, sister's gonna sister, dad's gonna dad, Brad's gonna Brad, Jim's gonna Jim, Carol's gonna Carol. Like people are gonna do what they do and then we can either be pissed about it or we can not go to the exhibit or we can go and just observe like this is what they're doing and then decide how much we want to engage with that. Knowing that monkeys act like monkeys. If I don't like the way monkeys act, I'm probably not going to go spend a lot of time watching the monkeys.
Acceptance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is like I like that analogy a lot.
Yeah. It's
if you don't like it, move, go to a different.
Right. Just go to place. Yes. But you being mad that the monkeys aren't acting like elephants doesn't change the monkey. It just makes you pissed.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
I really love that idea of like, we expect people to be something that they're not capable of being. And then we blame them for not being that thing instead of fixing what we can control, which is our thoughts around it of like, okay, I'm going to work on the accepting of you being who you are. And then I'll decide how much I want to engage, interact, expose, whatever.
Right.
With it, you know? Yeah.
I love that. That's a really like open heart forward thing too.
Mm-hmm. And it gives it people a lot of grace.
It doesn't mean you have to love monkeys, but it does give grace.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like I say this sometimes, like I love you and the answer is no. I say that a lot in my sessions because it's like, just because you're accepting people for who they are does not mean you're allowing them to have whatever access to you. Like if you don't like the way your sister behaves or something, you can be angry about it, but what does that solve? Or you can have compassion, empathy, love, and respect for her and still say, and I don't want you in my life right now. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, but you're giving yourself, I talk about this a lot too. Like when you, and I think I've talked about this here, when you feel something, when you feel love for someone, we think that they feel that love, but they don't. They receive your actions, however, and maybe they perceive it as love or maybe they don't. But either way, you're the one feeling it. Same with your, when you're mad. And I was thinking, I learned this when I was in life coach certification. I was really doing all this work on my mom. And I'm thinking anytime I would think about my mom, I would get so like I could feel my blood pressure raising. I was so angry and mad at her and resentful and bitter, all of these things. Meanwhile, who knows what she's doing? She's off. I would always picture like she's at a wine. She's wine tasting and laughing with her friends right now in Oregon. And I'm in Arizona pissed off. This is actually only hurting me. We think I can't forgive her because she doesn't deserve forgiveness. She doesn't even know I'm fucking pissed right now. I'm sitting at home in my house pissed off. She's having a good old time. Like my anger is only hurting me. So then that's when I, you know, when they say like, you don't forgive them for them, you forgive them for you. And I never understood that concept, but it really is like setting yourself free. And I did all of this and still for a year and a half didn't talk to her. Like I had forgiven her, started to find compassion and love for her and still was like, the answer is no, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard work, but it is very, very powerful if you can do it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Bring us home with one more. Approach conflict as you and the other person against the problem rather than you versus them. That's a big one. That's that like a critical life skill too.
And I don't think I think about that enough. I've heard that before. Like, we're on the same team here.
Yeah. Right. That's big in like negotiation and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because then you get all the information out and then you can actually like put it all on the table and look at it and see it and work with it.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to cook here? But if people are on their heels and stuff, they don't tell you as much.
Right.
And then it's just, they don't want to work with you. You know, it's just, things don't happen. Just escalates, you know? But that's a really good one. Yeah. We're a team. Right.
We're a team. And I love that, especially like
side by side, looking at the same thing,
you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Because it can be like, well, you want to do it this way and I want to do it that way instead of it's us. And then here's the thing that we're talking about, but we're on the same. I really like that visual.
Yeah. I love even just saying like same team.
Mm-hmm. Same team.
You know, like you and me, same team. We're on the same team.
Yeah.
Friends.
That's kind of like that anchor thing that Dave's talking about too.
We're just, hey,
like,
just reminder, you know, no matter what's flying around us, same team.
Same team.
Side by side.
Yeah.
That's you know?
A good one. There's so many more. We're going to have to do more of these.
Yeah.
Because we have like 40 more, but.
Oh, we do. Shoot.
I mean, there's so many. Yeah. So we do a little bonus episode over on Patreon. Guys, come on over. It's a good time. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp, you guys have heard us talk about it. It's been one of our, I think, longest running partners, it seems like. But we are always focusing on maintaining our mental health and taking care. You know, we talked about it earlier, you were talking about it in this episode. We talked about it last week, last episode with Dave, staying anchored into where you are, not being taken for a ride. Therapy is something that can help you do that. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. It's fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide, and you can switch therapists super easy at any time for no extra costs.
We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/sip to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sip.
Okay.
Bring it home with a little rant and rave.
Okay.
Okay. My rave. Guys, can you believe that Ben is almost six?
No.
When you listen
Actually, I can't.
Well, we're dropping this early, but we're preparing to celebrate his birthday. We're like days away.
Yeah.
And then in a couple weeks, Ellie turns three, which is also crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But I know every time our kids' birthdays come around, we rave. There's just nothing else to rave about. Seeing your kids, like seeing them become just different. Like who he is at six is so different than he was at five.
Right.
And then there's so much that's the same too, you know, that I love. And one of the things I'm seeing in Ben specifically, because it's almost his birthday. So, you know, this is, I'll talk about Ellie in a couple weeks. You know, if she's listening to this in 20 years, I don't want her to think, Ellie, I love you. If she ever hears this.
Right.
So, when Ben was like 3, 4, 5, you know, he was a COVID baby in the sense that COVID hit when he was like 10 months old. And for however long he grew up in like critical time where it was very insulated with us, people in masks, like all of that. And I think it's normal for kids to be a little bit more like attached to their parents and not really, you know,
but
he definitely was. And just like, I think there was a little bit of maybe fear or something. Again, could have been totally normal, could have been related to COVID of like putting himself kind of out there, I would say. So last night we were having one of those nights where things just felt a little hard inside the house. Like Chris and I were trying to talk about a couple things we needed to talk about. And then there was just, it was kind of this like thing where we couldn't get through a full sentence. Or, you know, those feelings with each other.
You were just so needed by.
Yes. And then we didn't really know what we were going to have for dinner. So we didn't have our footing there. Then it was raining. So we didn't, our go-to has just been like, get outside. We're like, we don't really want to like be outside. Like it just, we didn't, it felt like not stable, you know, that feeling. Uncertainty. And so I was like, all right, here's what we're doing. We're going to do a talent show. We're doing karaoke. So we had microphones that you can sync a Bluetooth to, and then you can sing. And it's like, who wants to go first? And Ben raised his hand and like totally put himself out there, dropped a beat, was like, I didn't even know he knew what he was doing. He was kind of rapping, but he was really going for it. And he was like rapping about being a wolf and then howling and then had us all howl and like was giving us the microphone. I'm like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
I've never seen this kid before. And then I sang Welcome to New York and he got up there, you know, got up. We were in the living room and he was belting it out, just belting it out with me. And I just thought, wow, you know, here you are in this version of yourself right now. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Anyway,
that's my rave. What's your your rave?
Do you want to rant and then I'll rant and then rave?
Oh, shoot. I'm out of practice with Tuesday.
Or do we want to end with a rant? We could end with a rant.
No, let's I'll go right into my rant and then
I'll rave.
Yeah. I just couldn't wait to rave.
No, I know.
And also the Tuesday apps are you know, far and few between now, I guess. All right. Rant. I hate when I do the work of grocery shopping or whoever Chris does and I like we have a stocked kitchen and then I forget about the things in the fridge.
I hate
just wasting my own food.
And
like the other day I was trying to clean out the fridge and there was this whole thing of celery that I wanted that I like asked for that I went out and got because I was going to do some food prep.
Yeah.
And there it was, still in the package, unopened, rotten.
Rotten celery.
Yes. Like I just get so mad at myself when something gets kind of tucked away to where you can't see it and it's just perfectly good, but you've let it just go bad because you didn't do what you thought you were going to do with
it. And I was,
it makes me so mad at myself.
Yeah.
You know? All right. What's your rant?
I mean, I was thinking about it and I'm sure I have like little onesie twosies here, but literally and I'm probably had this as my rant before. I mean, I've certainly ranted every week about it. But the only thing that I like when I think about like, oh, what's pissing me off? The only thing that makes me mad is my backyard.
Yep.
Cried about it today. I've cried about it almost every, it's not like tears coming out, but I get welled up in the eyes because, and I texted our contractor today because they're still not here. So nobody's been here all week. And then we were told Thursday that we would have workers that we were getting plants delivered and the pool veneer was going to be put on. And he's like, we're at the 10-yard line. We're looking at the 5-yard line. And
you're like,
it's Thursday. Nobody's here. So I messaged him at like 10 this morning. Hey, nobody's here. And he said, oh, they'll be there within 15 minutes or something.
What?
But all they did was drop the plants off. So then another 4 hours go by, whatever. And I am at 2 o'clock or whatever. I'm like, hey, well, this is what I sent. This is what I sent him. I said, they dropped off the plants, but no install and no crew. I know I'm bugging you because they always say, please believe we're working so hard for you. And so I feel like I'm bugging them, you know? So I'm like, I know I'm bugging you, but I just need communication on what's happening and when. The plan was that we'd have workers today and we don't. So it's another week of nothing. And I cry whenever I think about it because I feel like I have no option to move things along faster, right? I'm just at the mercy of whatever this company decides. And it's so disruptive to our life. So to not be able to fix that, right? And it's like when you're used to being able, like this thing is stressing me out. It's really taxing. It's hard on our family. It's something you see all day, every day, because it's right there in your face and you can't, there's no solve to it. You know, like you can't fix it. I said, it's just so awful and frustrating, especially when we're told things are going to happen and then they don't. So then he write back and he said, the crew is on their way. They'll be there. And he says a time. It's now an hour past that time. Still nobody. He's like, it's a long day for them. They overbook themselves. If I set something up, I'm a man of my word and it will happen. Okay. Nobody's here again. And so I just don't know how to like, you know, it is what it is. I should try to be better about not being taken for this ride, but it is so freaking maddening. And I just hate it. Like, I think if I, before remodeling ever again, I think I would rather buy a different house.
Wow.
Like if I needed to, if I needed to do a back, if our backyard was not set, I think I would just do a different house. That like, that's how awful this has been. Mm-hmm. And the thing, it's not like, oh, just this company. Everyone I talked to was like, oh yeah, it was a nightmare for us. You know, it just seems like that's the industry. And so they can get away with it. And I don't know. So that's my rant until it's done.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know this at this time of year, we are in the pool probably every single day. I think the kids probably this time of year is a pool 7 days a week, maybe six, you know, and to just not have that is so frustrating. So yeah, that's just going to be my rant because it's all that I am pissed off about right now. I think.
Bring us home with your rave.
It's what's keeping me. The thing that is very fun that I've been loving is, so I redid my front porch. I think maybe because I don't have the backyard, I've been working on like kind of redoing the rooms, like decor wise, not major remodels, but I did the porch upgrade. So we just had two like basic benches, got some chairs, got some planters, some flowers, you know, made that look nice, the rugs. And I love our front porch. And then I've been working on the kids' rooms because they had kid rooms. And now I'm trying, you know, they both had house beds. Rev's was falling apart because she's had it since she was three. So she's had it for 4 years. And they swing on them like jungle gyms, you know, and there's just like stickers everywhere. Max sleeping with one of those like polyester Batman comforters, you know, and it was just time to like
level it
refresh.
Up. Yeah.
So they both got new beds and I have always really struggled spending money on furniture and things, but my friend is a great interior designer, kind of like, you know, Chris's mom. And so she's been like sending me links to things. And so I'm spending money on like nice, like I'm shopping at like Pottery or like investing in quality pieces.
but it's been very fun to me. The kids are loving it. And I want to do this big grand reveal, but instead it's just happening bits and pieces as it goes. But I love being in their rooms now. I especially love Max because he's really got like a solid theme. Rev has blue star wallpaper. Like it's dark blue with gold stars all over it. And it came with the house. So it's a little bit, I have to be a little more creative with hers, but I've got, you know, I got her vanity. She's been using my makeup lately. So I started getting her own makeup. She's loving like, and I'm just, you know, really curating this and it's so fun. Aww. It's so fun. And it's actually really fun to drip the little joy instead of one big reveal. Like a couple days a week, they get like a new pillow or they get new decor or they get something, you know, and they're like, oh, I love it. And they get so excited. And so it's been like little drips of joy. And I've been loving like diving into that project. And I don't know if I would if the backyard was done. I don't know. Maybe I'd distract myself with something else. So it's been very fun to, you know, do that. And you know, I love online shopping. So
totally.
I'm just, it's a great time.
We love a good project.
So that's my rave, doing little upgrades, you know?
We love a good project. We love all
of
you.
We love you guys.
Mm-hmm. You can sip with us
always.
And we will see you
some Tuesday.
Bye. Want more? You can sit with us. How about another round of your favorite podcast?
Sign me up. Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad free. You can sign up. Go to patreon.com. patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us, become a patron.
Just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.